Through it all, I've learned to depend upon the Lord. I don't know where people get hope that don't have God. You know, we're in a time today where if you're a Christian, it almost seems like whether or not it's politically convenient how people respond. I've seen people made fun of because they, oh, you need God, you need a crutch. I need God because I am His creation. Amen. He is my creator. He is my king. Amen. And I can't make it without Him. Amen. This morning, what's been on my heart this week, what I'm going to try to share with you, is about being blessed or being hungry for God. The title of the message is, Who Will Be Blessed? Now, if you read that statement, it could be both a question and it could also be a statement. You know, the question, I guess, this morning is, do you want to be blessed by God? I do. I don't know what I would do without God's blessing. I want God's blessing in everything that I do. I want God's blessing in my life. If I were to make a decision, I want it to be blessed by God. I want my relationships to be blessed by God. You know, I want my relationship with my wife to be blessed by God. God forbid that I would take it for granted. Sometimes after a number of years, people do that. They take their relationships for granted. And sometimes when you do that, you find that you don't have it anymore. I don't want to take my relationship with my wife for granted. I want it to be blessed by God. You know, I have children. I love my children. I want my relationship with my children to be blessed by God. You know, I want my relationship with the church and my church friends and my church family to be blessed by God. You know, I want my relationship with the people I work with to be blessed by God. You know, when I go down there to work and I have tasks to do and I have things that I'm responsible for, I have a little signs. You know, I've told you about my little sticky notes. I actually have 8 by 12, 8 and a half by 11 notebook paper also with scripture verses written on it. And I've got one that says, A soft answer turneth away wrath. There's another verse that says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That's a verse out of Proverbs. Do you know that I want God to bless what I do every day at work? You know, can I tell you how many times I've gotten a phone call and I get stressed? Have you ever gotten a call to make you stressed? You know, it's like you feel the color in the blood as it flashes through your face. And you feel the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Do you pray about your work? I do. I do. I mean, these times I've gotten a phone call, and I got one not long ago, and they were talking about these, actually it was stress bars in a curtain wall on a building that was like 20 stories tall, and they said somebody had taken a sawzall and cut them off when they put the building together. And when the engineer reviewed it, the structure was not sound, that basically the entire building was going to have to either come down or they were going to have to take a mill through the back of the stuff and put steel inserts in it. And folks, I want to tell you something. I started praying. You know what I was praying? God, please don't let it be our fault. I prayed. It's kind of like when some of you go to the ball games and you got this couple over here and they're saying, Lord, please let our team win. And you got these people over here, and sometimes they're from the same church, sometimes different church. God, please let our team win. God has a little bit of a sense of humor. He couldn't tolerate that. But don't you want to be blessed by God? I want God to bless America. I pray that God would bless our leaders, even though most of the time I don't like them. I don't know if I've really ever had a leader in this country that I did like much. People say, well, I like this one, I like that one. No, really, it's almost like less. I don't really like none of them, but I like some of them less than others. But I still pray that God would bless America. You know, right now, I want to tell you something. I'm going to get in this scripture. I got some places to read in Psalms and in Matthew. You need to be praying that God would guide the leaders of this country. Because there are international decisions that have to be made that could affect the freedom and the safety of your children and your grandchildren. And folks, it's serious as it's ever been in my lifetime. We've got situations going on where inflation is at almost 7%. The unemployment rate is at 3.6%. There are jobs everywhere that cannot be filled. How are we going to get this done? Inflation's going up. They raise the interest rates, and when they do, the banks get in a situation where bonds have no value, and all of a sudden it's got the counter effect. You ever get to the point that sometimes we need to realize this in our lives, that there's nothing that we can really do. We need God to do it. And sometimes we get to the point in America, and this is where we're at today. God, we need you to help us. God, we need you to move. God, we need you to do things. And when you cry out to him and you quit trying to do it all by yourself, God can do something. I want to tell you something. I need God to do something that I can't do. I've worked with people from Ivy League schools. I've worked with people that thought they knew everything. And I've sat in rooms with them. I've listened to them talk. And when I'm listening, you know what I'm doing? The Bible says to pray without ceasing. I'm saying, God, you give me the wisdom. God, you give me the answer. And it's like Jeremiah over there where the Lord spoke to him and said, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. You realize as a Christian that you serve a power and a God that's greater than anything this world's got. And he has the ability to help you be able to do things that you couldn't do yourself. Now, wait a minute. When he does that, what are we supposed to do? We're going to say, God, thank you. We're going to say, God, we praise you. We're going to say, God, we give you the glory. We're going to say, God, it's not about me, it's about you. And we're going to praise you for answering our prayers. You ever prayed for little things? Now, y'all have heard me talk about praying for car parts, okay? God, help this bolt go in this hole, even though I've got it cross-threaded. How many times you lost your car keys? I want to tell you, when I lose my car keys, when I lay the mail down somewhere, and I want to tell you something, as I'm getting older, it happens more often. I go to my wife, and I say, honey, I've done it again. Did this the other night two or three times. I was almost to the point of surrender, but I said, I've lost the keys. Well, let's pray about it. Okay, well, you pray. I'll keep hunting. We finally found the keys, and then I said, I don't know what I've done. I've laid the water bill down somewhere. I know the water bill came. I've got to pay the water bill. She said, well, let's pray about it. Maybe it's over here. Does that mean anything to you? Does it matter to you when you have things in your life? Where do you go if you don't go to God? I need him. I want you to know that before I read this to you this morning. If this message is about anybody, I want to make it known. I need God to be the author of the blessings of my life. I want to go over to Matthew chapter number 5, the Beatitudes, and I want to read. You can probably determine which one I'm going to read. It's the 6th verse. Then I want to go back and I want to read the 1st chapter of Psalms. This is a verse that's been on my heart this week, and it says this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, I grew up around some preachers and men of God that just absolutely love God, and their life impacted my life. Now, I can remember one time I heard Brother Jimmy Dunn, he was preaching, and he talked about that word shall. And he said, it's like this. He said, shall means you can absolutely, positively count on it. Sometimes when we say we will do something, the truth is we might do it. But when God says we shall be blessed, it's a promise from God. He said, if you'll just do your part, I'll do my part. And here's what the scriptures want you to understand this morning. If you want the things of God and you hunger for them and you desire them, you will have them. Because God wants to give them to you. Let's go back over to the 1st chapter of the book of Psalm. And let's read this scripture. I think, Brother Allen, this was a chapter a lot of the youth were memorizing for a period of time. But I want to read this scripture to you. I love this scripture. And then I'm going to give you one verse out of the book of Jeremiah that kind of parallels this. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the assembly, stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, this book of Psalms was written by a different author than the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah was written, Jeremiah the prophet. You go through the Psalms, a lot of them written by David, some of them by Asaph. But in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 7, it says this: Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall ye cease from yielding fruit. You know, what the world wants to tell you is it really doesn't make a difference whether you serve God or not. It doesn't matter, but it does. And if you want to be blessed, the Scripture tells us how to do that. And here's what it says in the book of Psalms in the first chapter. It says that he shall be like a tree that's planted. Planted by the rivers of water, that means a firm footing. That means when the wind blows, it bends, but it doesn't blow over. It's in a very fertile place, and it brings forth fruit. And it's such a tree that if you were to really look at it and understand it, it would be something that would be there for the fruit and for the strength, not only of itself, but of others. It says, he shall bring forth fruit, which means he doesn't suffer barrenness. His leaf won't wither, which means the effect of the curse do not have full effect on him because of grace. You know, there is a curse. There's a curse on man, and sometimes I remind people of it. I remember one time I was teaching a young youth class over at Macklin Baptist Church, and I was trying to get across to them that it wasn't always going to be the way that it is. You know, I first started preaching, I was a youth, and I preached at youth services and youth meetings. And I would go in, and they called it a youth service, and that's why they'd call me, because I was one of the young preachers that was around. And as times go on, and I begin to try to relate to young people, I can remember standing there and I asked them just to hold up their hand. And I held up my hand. You know, we can go around the building, and it would be showing. What would show is the effects of the curse. And would show what the curse does to the body. We can see what the curse is doing to the earth. But I want you to understand something. As a Christian, we also have something called grace. And what grace does is it comes and it gives us a curve toward the curse. So that as a Christian, we may not necessarily feel all those effects of the curse. One time I preached a message this way. It was a curse, a curve, and a cure. The curse is here. The curve is grace. The cure is eternity with the Lord. You know, if you look at this scripture, you say, well, how can we be living here in the middle of all this and still expect and have these blessings? It's because of the grace of God. Now, if you look at it and go a little further, it says he prospers in whatsoever he does. I want to read 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. What this is the prayer of Jabez. I love this story. And, you know, if you go through the Chronicles and it's like, okay, I'm going to read through the Word of God. And you get over there where it's page after page after page of names. You like to find a story like the story of Jabez. Because what we find in this story, it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And the scripture says, and God granted him that which he requested. Now, what I want you to see in this story is that God did bless Jabez, and he blessed him because he called upon the name of the Lord. In other words, he was going through a cycle, and he was right in the midst of all these names. And I want you to understand that the name Jabez actually means he makes sorrowful. How would you like to have a mother that names you that? You know, the reality of it is in life, there are a lot of people that are in a cycle, and it seems like, how are we ever going to get out of it? How are we ever going to see a change? How are we ever going to be blessed? I believe it's what we're reading in the scripture is by calling upon the name of the Lord. But if you look at the story of Jabez, he asked God to change the tag that had been placed upon him by those from his past. And here's what I want us to understand if we're here today and we're looking for something from God. You are more than the name that has been placed upon you, and you are more than the sum of your past. And Jabez, he cried unto the Lord, and he asked God to bless him. Now look at what he did. He said, enlarge my coast. Now here's a couple of things that could be. That could be your sphere of influence. It could be your ability. It could be your mind. It could be your ability even to perform a task or to do a job. He's saying, God, take what I have and make it bigger than it is. And then he asked the Lord, he said, enlarge my coast. And then he said, I want thine hand to be with me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, I want your hand. I want your hand of blessing on my home. I want your hand of blessing on what I do. I want you to move in my life. And then he prayed this, and this is something we need to understand. He said, that you would keep me from evil. And that it may not grieve me. Now, the scripture says that God granted him that which he requested. Now, what I want us to understand is we look at the word of God, and we're going to get to another scripture I want to read in 2 Chronicles in just a minute, that God still wants to bless men and women who choose to follow him. God wants to bless your home. God wants to bless your life. Now, here's what sometimes people need to understand. How do we measure blessings? Sometimes people measure blessings by how new your car is, how big your house is. That don't mean nothing if you don't have peace with God. And that don't mean nothing if you're not where you need to be in your relationship with God, because the things of the world can never take the place or fill the void in a person's life when you're supposed to be serving and worshiping the Lord. You know, but what I want you to understand is God still wants to bless, and there are still things that God does honor. Now, here's what I want you to believe, and I want you to understand. God honors those who pray. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, and I want to read this verse of Scripture, and I want you to see it. Now, this verse of Scripture is a tough verse of Scripture to read. It's a tough verse of Scripture to take and try to digest. It's very familiar Scripture if you're a Bible reader. You've heard it read and preached and taught on. It says this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, here's what's good about this scripture. He says if we pray, number one, he said he will hear us. That means that when you come before the Lord, I don't care what it is, I don't care what's going on in your life, when you cry out to God in earnest and you pray, the scripture says that he will hear us. Now, I'll tell you the second part of good news in this story. This is a verse of good news. This is not a verse of oppression. He said he will hear us. The second thing is he will forgive us. Praise God. That means whatever I lay before the Lord, he will hear me, he will forgive me. But listen to what else it says. He will restore us. Praise God. He has the ability to work in our lives and to move in such a way, because what God wants to do, what God wants to do is bless you. I believe that. Why don't people want that? You know, when we pray, I pray for God's wisdom. God, give me understanding. You know, I pray for direction. God, give me direction. Have you ever prayed and said, God, help me that I won't make a mess? God, help me that I won't make a mistake. God, help me that I won't get in myself. But help me, God, to understand what it means to be still. Have you ever just prayed that God would help you be still? Folks, it's hard. How about, God, I'm praying for protection. You ever pray for protection? You know, somebody told me that the tornado that went through down in South Georgia this morning went through down there where those animals are at in the cages, and a tiger is missing. Now, I'm sure all the families around there, they've called in their kids, and they've, all right, until this thing is caught. Folks, I want to tell you, the Bible says that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And then he said, go on, knowing that these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. If we understood where we're at spiritually in this world today, you'd pray for protection for you and your family every day, that God would put a hedge around them, that God would watch over them, because there is all manner of wickedness out there. Not everybody thinks like you do as a Christian. Pray for protection. And it is okay to pray for God's blessing. What does the Bible say? If we ask and receive not, it is because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our lust. Everything that we ask for, we want to ask for it in accordance to the will of God and the purpose of God. And I heard a preacher preaching about this one time when I was just a young man. He said, if we'd learn how to pray that God would show us His will and then be willing to follow God's will, we could pray and God would answer every prayer that we ever prayed. But God don't answer our prayer. Quite a lot of times what we're wanting is what we want, and we don't care anything about what God thinks. And that's why our prayers are not answered. That's the country version of that verse. If we pray according to the will of God, folks, He's going to move. And I want you to understand, He wants to bless you. He honors those who pray. Here's something else God honors. God honors those who are faithful. Folks, faithfulness is important. And I want to say this. Young people, I want y'all to hear me over there. And I'm so glad to see y'all. Y'all look so good over there. I'm sure y'all feeling good. No joint pain, no aches. Most important relationship you'll ever have in your life is your relationship with God. You might meet a girl one day, young man, and you think you can't live without her, and you probably can't. And young lady, it's the same way. But I want to tell you something. There's going to come a time you'll have to lean more on God than you will each other. And if you want your relationship to be what it's supposed to be, it does not take two, it takes three. And if you serve God first and you seek a companion that's the same way, that serves God first, the three of you, you, that person, and God can walk together, and you'll understand how important faithfulness is, because it is God's intention that when you get together, that you stay together for life. That's just what God wants. And if we understand that He has the ability, you know what that means? Sometimes you got to bite your tongue, you got to eat crow, and all kind of other stuff that you don't like. But you got to learn what it means to be faithful to God first. Faithful to God first, and then the other things will follow. And then faithful to their family, faithful to their church, faithful to their God. You know, there are no other gods. There's only one. He's our creator. That's a lot of substitutes. Sometimes I don't think it's that people want to follow another God. They just want God to have the characteristics that they like. You know that when you go back and you study in the Old Testament and you start looking at what they did, it's not any different than what people are doing today. when they created a god that they would follow, and they would, you know, choose a wood that wouldn't rot. They would overlay it with gold, and they would give it a name, and they would set it up. They basically give that god the characteristics that they wanted him to have so that they could live the way that they wanted to live and still say that they're worshiping a god. That's what a lot of people are doing today. But folks, that's not what the Bible's about. He's God and we're not. And when we're faithful to him and we follow him, I believe he'll still bless us. Which goes to our next point. God honor those who walk in righteousness. Folks, there is such a thing as righteousness. There is a standard. There is still such a thing as right and wrong. There's so much distortion in our land today, I am amazed. Sometimes I'm appalled. It's like, are we really having this conversation? Is this really something that people talk? You know, it's almost like the Bible tells us in the New Testament not to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, it's like you don't even talk about this stuff, much less get on the news and broadcast it. There is a standard. We're so distorted. Don't let the world that we live in, because it's gotten so corrupt, turn your hearts and minds away from God. Because if you want God's blessing, you must realize that the things that God said are wrong today are wrong today, just like they were when the Word of God was written. God's not any different than he was. You see, a good man is a man who walks according to the ways of God. And this is where sometimes it gets tough, but it's right, just the way that it is. You can't live to satisfy yourself. I remember one time I heard a preacher tell me outside, we were having revival. He was preaching revival for my dad. And I was just a young, inquisitive boy, maybe a teenager, but very young. I went up to him. I was talking to him. God was already working in my life. And the man looked at me. He said, you know, when God calls a man, he is not his own. You know, we want to say we understand that when it comes to a preacher. But can I tell you that's the same thing for a Christian? You have been bought with a price. Amen. The Bible says we ought to glorify God with our lives and with our bodies. Okay, we're not saved by our works, but the Bible does say that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. One example of evidence of a Christian that you know that you're saved is that you do the works of God, is that you bring forth the fruits of God, that your life is representative, that you have been with Jesus. Why? Because your life is not your own anymore, even as a Christian. He bought you with a price. You don't have to work to go to heaven. But if you've been saved, you ought to. I'm glad I get to. Glad I get to. You see, because God honors those who honors him. That's point number four. You see, you have to acknowledge that he is God and God alone. You have to live your life for his honor and for his glory and not your own. What does that mean? That means everything you do it for the honor and glory of God. Like it says over in Colossians chapter 3, all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. What you have to do is you have to be willing to get rid of yourself, not live for yourself. And I heard somebody say it this way recently. You got to get rid of your ego. You ever worked for anybody that had a big ego? We got a few customers. We got one guy, he come driving up in his customized Camaro. He got these mufflers on it. He said, I couldn't even run in sixth gear. It made so much noise, I had to run all the way down here from Charlotte in fifth. He gets out in a three-piece suit, and before we start the meeting, he wants to tell us why we need to have a suit on, because we're, you know, in a business meeting. We just sit and listen. And, you know, his ego is so big, all you got to do to have a good business meeting is just get him talking about himself. I mean, you know, 30, 45 minutes later, if you agree with him, you've got the sale. I mean, you know, you've made it. Getting rid of the ego. What is ego? Ego, and I heard it said recently, is easing God out. Do you know if you got an ego that's like that, what you're doing is taking every bit of the honor that belongs to God, and you're saying it's mine. Can I tell you, as I stand here before you, and I told somebody this right before I got up here to preach, I'm uncomfortable every Sunday. I'm nervous. This is not natural for me. You said, well, you can't tell it. I'm an introvert. I am. I want to go hide. I'm like the ostrich that sticks his head in the hole, but I want to put my whole body in. If you want God to be honored by what you do, do it for Him. I heard it said recently, there's no telling what you can accomplish for God if you do not care who gets the credit. But a lot of times, you know, people are so concerned about who's going to get the credit and their name's going to be on the building and so on and so on, that they can't get out of God's way and let God do what He already wants to do in their life. God may have given you the talent you have so that you can serve Him, but He'll never get the honor and glory that He's supposed to get until you get out of His way. You know, if we understand how to honor Him by giving everything that we have, the more that God blesses us, it ought to make us more humble. Do you know that? If you can sing, if you're intelligent, you know, I tell people, I did not choose to be born a fat, bald-headed white boy. Y'all ever think about that? You ever look in the mirror and say, I look good today? You didn't have nothing to do with it. You really didn't. Male, female, born in the South in the Bible Belt. Do you know how blessed you are to be in the South in a Bible Belt where you can go to a church where the Word of God is preached, where the singing is good, and where God's power is present? You could be somewhere right now where you go into a church and you go in there and you don't even recognize anybody. You look for the Spirit of God and you wonder if the Lord's done come back and you've missed it. What we ought to do, the more God blesses us, is we ought to push us to our knees that we could honor Him. But it says in verse 4 and 5, the ungodly are not like that. It says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, sometimes if you understand what it means to sift wheat, what they'll do is they'll take the fork, they'll throw the wheat up in the air, and the wheat, because it was heavy, would fall, and the chaff would blow away. You know, there's a story in the Bible about the wheat and the tares. When they're growing together and they're growing up, it's very difficult to understand the difference between the wheat and the tares. And you look at them, the tare is something called a bearded darnel, but it's poisonous. In the story, they said, no, don't pull up the tares, because if you do now, you're going to possibly uproot some of these wheat that are there. But when the time comes for them to be sifted, I want to tell you something, the people of God are going to be separated from the world. And that's exactly what this is talking about. It says the tares are going to be taken in bundles and they're going to be put in the fire to be burned. But He said, put the wheat into My barn. You see, the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The Scripture says they will not rise in the judgment. What does that mean? Their place in eternity is set. Now, folks, everything I've talked about to this point has really been about blessings down here. We are blessed. What about blessings in eternity? Do you know that there are people in the world today that are Christians that are just trying to survive because they believe in what's coming in eternity? It's not because today. It's not because they're free to worship. It's not because they have the things that you and I have. They have the multiple air conditioners and they have Longhorns waiting on them with the hot rolls. They don't have what we have. Most of their blessings are out there. They're in eternity. But you know what's really to be understood about those who don't serve God? Oh, well, they still got this and they've still got that. Well, let's really understand what's going to happen. You and I are going to live 70, maybe 80 years, some less. And there's going to come a time, if the Lord don't come back, that I'm going to have a funeral. And somebody's going to stand up and they're going to look for words to say. Are they going to say that he was a Christian and he served God with his life? Or are they going to fumble for what things to say? You see, the ungodly's place in eternity is already set, and that place in eternity is set because they've spent their whole life separated from God, not giving God the glory, not asking God to be first in their life, not asking God to guide them. And it says they will also not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Not part of God's plan in heaven. You know, when I think about heaven, we're going to be blessed in heaven. You're going to be satisfied. You're not going to get to heaven and say, oh, I thought it'd be this way or I thought it'd be that way, and look for things and they not be there. You're going to know, I believe very much. You're going to know who your loved ones are. I believe they're going to see you. I believe that stuff. And I'm going to be happy there. You know, the greatest thing about heaven for me is not really the streets of gold the Bible talks about, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl. Give me a Cracker Barrel front porch, a rocking chair, and leaves changing. But you know the greatest thing is a heavenly mind. No more heartache, no more pain, no more stress, no more trouble, no more worry. No more, God, I don't know where my kids are tonight. No more, God, I don't know if the medicine's going to work. No more, I don't know if I'm going to be all right. No more, God, I'm sorry that I failed again. God, I need you to give me strength because I'm struggling. The devil won't have a place there. I'm going. But those that are ungodly, the scripture says it's not so. But here's what I want you to understand. If you know the Lord, or if you don't know him as your Savior, God wants to bless you. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to be part of your home. It's like when Joshua made the statement, and you see it over a lot of doors. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? You know, here's the thing to understand. I'm going to ask him to come with a song in just a minute. Do you know that Christians get bad reports from the doctors? So do those that are non-Christians. Sometimes Christians lose their jobs. Sometimes non-Christians lose their jobs. Christians struggle with the flesh and bad decisions and things they do wrong, just like non-Christians. But the difference is if you've got that sign hanging over your door and you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, you have somebody you can go to help you. You have one you can pray to. You have one you can bow to and say, God, give me the strength and the help that I need in my life. You have one that you can come to and say, Lord, you know that I'm alone. Lord, you know that I'm struggling. Lord, you know what I'm going through. But where do you go if you don't know God? You don't have that blessing waiting on you. You see, what God is doing is he's standing before us spiritually today, just like he stood before Jerusalem, with his arms outstretched. And he said to them there, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and slayest them that are sent unto you, how often I would have gathered thy children together as a mother hen doth her brood or her little chicks, and you would not. You know how a mother hen used to do with the chicks? When things were dangerous, she'd spread her wings out, and little chicks would come. You know, in my life and my relationship with God, that's a lot of times where I want to be, is under his wing. And I cry out to him, and I go to him, and he takes me. Where do you get your help if you don't get it from God? I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. If God spoke to your heart, and you want to pray, if there's anything you want to talk to God about, the altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are open. But most importantly, more than anything else, yes, you do need to be saved. You need a personal relationship with God. You can get that where you're at. You can get it at home. But I'll tell you, the best way to get it is when the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you and you move and you are take advantage of what God has. So if you'd like to come pray, if you want somebody to pray with you, we'd be glad to do that. If you'd like to come, would you please come? Thank you.